Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
I'm Brittany Pacheco.
And I'm one-armed.
Tristan Jones.
And we are back. We are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. That's right, we're back. Today we are here to discuss Secret Invasion. We're going to wrap it up. Our last episode, we talked about the first episode of this six-episode miniseries on Disney+. Well, they finally finished it up, and we're going to go through the whole season. Just hit you with the quick facts for Secret Invasion. It is the first series of Phase 5 for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Overall, it's the ninth Marvel Studios show on Disney+. I've got thoughts on that in a little bit. The premiere date was June 21st. The finale, of course, was July 26th. The average runtime for the six episodes is about 40 to 45 minutes. The cast includes Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Colby Smulders, Martin Freeman, Kingsley Benadire, Charlene Woodard, Dermot Mulroney, Emilia Clarke, Olivia Colman, and Don Cheadle. Brittany, overall thoughts on Secret Invasion?
It's okay. I mean, it's it doesn't rank high for me personally when it comes down to these MCU shows. I think we've talked about this a lot here, that for a period of time, we were just getting a lot of MCU in a very short amount of time, especially during the pandemic. We have thoughts, of course, about how Disney, or rather Marvel, had to supply Disney with shows for Disney+. More on that later. The show was okay. I thought the casting was great. I mean, you've got a lot of big-time names here, of course, participating in the show. Needless to say, Samuel L. Jackson. But when you bring in like the likes of Olivia Colman, whom I absolutely love, I love her more now, especially from the show. Emilia Clarke, you know, the mother of dragons herself. And then some newcomers for me. I actually really enjoyed the performance by the actor who played Gravik. So, I mean, there were things that I liked about the show, but for the most part, it was just kind of like a solid meh from me. What say you, Frank?
Kingsley Benadire he's a marvel. He stole my heart in One Out of Miami. He played Malcolm X. He'll be playing the Jamaican legend next year in the movie as well. Bob Marley. I mean, the talent is real. He's the reason why I kept watching. I thought his portrayal was just excellent as the Skrull leader. I felt like the story was lacking overall. They gave reasons why the Avengers weren't involved and high-powered superheroes weren't involved, but it wasn't believable enough to, like, say why you wouldn't have these people involved. It was meh. I thought three and four were the best episodes of the series. But I thought the ending was kind of, I don't know, I thought it was kind of very rushed and not believable as well. Marvel has a problem of like oversaturated market right now. I'd rather them focus on making great movies. And you can put out a show once a year, cool. I'm fine with that. But I think the problem they're having is that they're trying to be in continuity with not just the MCU, but the MCU shows, and try to connect all the dots to things that don't really be connected. That's not really important. To have this kind of event, the Skrull events, one of the single events, top three events in Marvel history, along with Secret Wars, Civil War 1 and 2. These are like cataclysmic events that changed the landscape of Marvel in the comic books. And to take a story like this, and this includes so many pivotal characters that played a major role in the actual story, and try to say, hey, I'm gonna give the Diet Coke version of this. Let's hope that it goes great. That's not good enough for Marvel. I would expect it for DC, not for Marvel.
This was a mid show. Two things are true. It was an average at best show. I also enjoyed it. You know, like it's summertime. Like I enjoy looking on my phone and seeing a notification. Hey, a new episode of Secret Invasion. Okay, cool. Look, 45 minutes out of my day, but it's kind of like eating McDonald's. Like once I'm done with it, I don't know what I'm supposed to take from it. Like there's nothing that I can take from it and kind of build off of. It's just 45 minutes of some cool dialogue, Samuel Jackson saying or doing something cool, them calling Samuel Jackson washed in some shape or form. Kinsley, Benedict Gravik, excellent performance, especially in the finale. But just ultimately, like you said, like the writing didn't live up to it, what it should have been. The story was all over the place. The finale, which we'll talk about, was something. I don't know. I don't even know what to call it, but it was something. I kind of concur. Like, another issue that Marvel's having is not just the saturation of the market, is that they have too many characters that they feel like, I guess they feel like they have to include them in some type of way or give them this major storyline. And all these characters simply don't need major storylines. So this is what's leading to, like, hey, we have this excess space throughout the year where we're not releasing movies, you know, we'll drop these shows. But all the shows really do is make us yearn for the movies. You know, maybe that's the point, but like, I don't think we're really taking much from a lot of these shows, if any of them, honestly.
Yeah. The thing about it is, since Endgame, you've had all these projects. We've had a ton of stuff. We've had, you know, since the pandemic started, we've had 9 movies. We've had 9 Disney Plus shows. We've had 2 Disney Plus specials. So that's a lot of stuff in Phase 4 and 5. The problem with it is none of it really connects to anything else. You know, like this, I guess, kind of will connect to the Marvels, which comes out November 10th. But none of the other stuff, like Shang-Chi, doesn't connect to the Eternals, which doesn't connect to Black Widow, which doesn't connect to Thor, Love, and Thunder. You know, like, you go through all the movies, Ant-Man, you know, Quantumania, whatever, doesn't connect to anything. Guardians, of course, Volume 3 was kind of its own thing, which probably is the reason why it was, you know, pretty good. But, yeah, they're not connecting things. And I get it, because we've talked about this and I've said this a million times. Like, you know, after Endgame, there was really nowhere to go besides down. Like, you've reached the pinnacle. You told this great story over 10 years and 20 something movies, and now you've kind of got to rebuild. And then you're also expanding with Disney Plus. And that's what I wanted to talk about. Disney Plus is the problem with the MCU. And because, you know, the MCU, that stands for Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's not meant to be on TV. It's not meant to be on the streamer. It's just not. It just doesn't work as well as it does in the movies. I think, you know, Frank, you mentioned this, like, maybe you do one show a year or whatever. I'm okay with them doing, you know, like a special. Like, I think so far we've had the 2 specials. The holiday special for Guardians of the Galaxy was really good. Werewolf by Night, the other special, I wasn't really familiar with that part of Marvel, the supernatural kind of Halloween kind of characters. But it was well done. It's a black and white 1-hour kind of presentation that told a good story that you could follow the story. It didn't connect to anything, but like I said, nothing else is connected to anything either. So I really think that they've got to stop with the TV shows, because this show, as y'all have said, to me, it's my lowest ranked, and we'll rank them all later. But it, to me, it's the bottom of the barrel. And, you know, like, the cast was great. Acting was great. Kinsley being Benadir was awesome, as Tristan said, especially in the finale. But I feel like with that actor and even that character, it was kind of wasted in this storyline. I mean, he could have been a big time villain in the MCU going forward, or he could have been a big time hero depending on what character he was. And he's just kind of, you know, he was in the 6 episode series, and we're kind of moving forward. So, I don't know. I don't think it was as bad as some people are saying. Like, for example, the finale, I saw that on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 13%, which is the lowest rated MCU project so far. And I think that's ridiculous. I think that's kind of like superhero backlash. You know, we've seen that lately with like Ant-Man, you know, and the Wasp, Quantumania. The Flash is not a bad movie, but people didn't go see it. And people want to talk about how bad it is, but it's like, did you watch any of those other movies? Like, cause it's better than all those. And you know, Quantumania wasn't really a bad movie. I don't, like, if you think it's worse than the other 2 Ant-Man movies, I don't think that you'd watch the other 2 Ant-Man movies. You know, like, it was very on the same level. So I don't know. There's a lot to chew on there, but let's just talk about the finale now. Brittany, what are your thoughts on the final episode? Was it a 13% in your mind? Was it that low?
No, I wouldn't give it a 13%. It would be much higher. Probably still like mid-range, just because you see, for me personally, seeing Olivia Colman, her performance. Now, mind you, I recently watched her on Netflix for The Crown. She was Queen Elizabeth, you know, in a different stage of Queen Elizabeth's life. And I thought she was phenomenal there, just her authority and just how she conducted herself. And then seeing her in a different kind of authority for this show, holding her own, like Frank had mentioned earlier, I think episodes 3 and 4 were probably arguably the best in this limited or mini series. And I think even for episode 5, I had messaged y'all in the chat saying like Olivia Colman in this last episode was just so cool. She was so badass. And I think for me, that was a lot of the, you know, the saving grace, even when it came to the finale and her kind of trying to trick, quote, Rhodey, you know, about, or warning Rhodey about how Nick Fury was coming for the president, et cetera, et cetera. And the finale, I thought, was just, it was a very weak finale. I did enjoy the performance between Kingsley and Samuel L. Jackson in that the Super Skrull, by the way, stupid name. Okay. I didn't like it. It sounds so silly to me. I'm like, can we not come up with a better name than Super Skrulls? Like, I don't know. It just sounds like something you would have made up in elementary school or something. Anyway, but that dialogue between the two of them, and you can just see that anger and the ferocity behind what Gravik was saying. And, you know, this is the face of the first man that I killed that you told me to kill. Like he obviously has a lot of anger and a lot of resentment. Beautiful performance. I thought it was great. I thought Gaia and Gravik's fight was kind of cool. I mean, you get to see them embody their Super Skrull powers, which is from the harvest of all these Avengers and other people's DNA that has been collected throughout the years by the hands of the Skrulls, apparently. Parts of that was silly. It's just not a finale, I think, worth remembering, if that's the way to go about it.
But I would ask you this. Of the 9 shows, which finale do you really remember, or do you think was like, oh, that was good?
Oh, well, WandaVision, hands down.
That was
WandaVision for me was like the best, just because that whole storytelling was so creative. But then you saw the end game of her becoming Scarlet Witch, and that opened a whole other world of what the hell is going to happen with this character. You know, that left you thinking and guessing and wanting to know more. Whereas this is just kind of like, if they never like follow up with these characters ever again, I really couldn't care less. Truth be told.
And you know, what you just mentioned about WandaVision and Multiverse of Madness were both in phase 4. They didn't even connect really, because Wanda was different. I mean, I like Multiverse of Madness, but her character was not, where we left her off in WandaVision, she was not the same character in Multiverse of Madness. So, Frank, what are your thoughts on the finale? I mean, how do you think it stacks up with other finales in the Disney Plus MCU show lore?
I'm trying to see. I didn't see Moon Knight. I didn't see Marvel, Ms. Marvel. I only remember WandaVision's finale, Loki's finale, and Captain Winter Soldier's finale. Mm-hmm. It's last at all the finales I've seen. It wasn't good. The Gravik, Fury, Gaia, back and forth was great. It was brilliant. That was brilliant. That was Benadir bringing heat to that role. It was very mindful of One Night in Miami when Benadir's Malcolm X character was going to Sam Cooke's character talking about, you know, oppression. It was very powerful. And I think what makes the scene so great is that the argument they had I could see both points. That's what made it so great. Like Rival was a teenager or preteen when the Skrulls came to Earth and Fear made that promise. So I saw the ferocity, the anger. It was very Killmonger-ish of like what he was saying. And that's the result of a child that's lost and a child who has lost a lot. So that was brilliant. That was the only thing I liked from the whole finale. The rest of it was very lacking. If you're gonna create a storyline of like not having Avengers in it, and then create a storyline of like how the Skrulls took all these samples, I need to see it. You just can't say. You need to explain it. Show a flashback of like one of the Avengers wars against whoever, or show something to say that these guys took DNA from the most powerful entities in a universe, and you don't explain that, you don't show it in a flashback or something. It was just kind of ridiculous. Like, go ahead, Justin.
No, I was just gonna say, like, some of those characters, like, when did the Hulk bleed? When was Thor bleeding? Do y'all remember that? I mean, maybe
the Hulk bled in She-Hulk.
He bled in
She-Hulk. Right, but that's after Endgame, though.
I know.
He bled to Ultron when Tony had the Hulk Buster and he punched him a few times and Hulk's teeth came out and he had a little bit of blood on his face then when they were fighting. But again, like, you gotta explain that. These are powerful heroes who have saved the world hundreds of times, the universe hundreds of times. You gotta show how they did it. You just can't say they took, and like Ebony Maw, I think Guy had a still scene where Ebony, like, she used Ebony Maw's powers to like move Gravik. I'm like, Ebony Maw died in space. Like, how'd you get his DNA? Like I don't understand. Like, you rushed all of that and didn't explain the process of how they got all these powers and all this DNA. It was just very poor writing. The fighting scene was all right, but even with the fighting scene, that was kind of low budget compared to what you see in the MCU and their movies. It's just, I don't know. I was just waiting for it to end. I was just really watching just so I could have something to say for the podcast. It didn't really motivate me to like watch it beyond that.
I gotcha. Tristan, what's your take on the finale? Maybe how it stacks up with other finales, or, you know, where does it land for you?
On all of these finales is maybe we're not supposed to take them that seriously. Like, because obviously Marvel's not taking them that seriously. You know what? I'm going to go back to what you said, Justin, because I actually unmuted myself because I wanted to like piggyback off that. I really wanted to talk about that, and then you said it.
Yeah,
so I definitely wanted to piggyback off it. This notion of like Disney, we're not really just watching like MCU movies. We're not watching MCU shows. We're not watching Marvel shows. We're watching Disney shows, and that's the reason why they're flooding these, you know, the market with these shows, because Disney expects more. Disney's also losing money, right? As we can see that playing out in ABC News, ESPN, all these different things. People are getting laid off and such and such. There's a strong correlation between what's happening on the business side and what's happening with these shows that they're releasing, and even the movies. Like, the movies have decreased in quality since Endgame, with the exceptions, with some exceptions, Black Panther, so, you know, so on and so forth. But I don't look at any of these finales or any of these shows, honestly, as like prestige TV. And I guess, like, coming off of watching The Bear and watching Succession and watching The Last of Us and House of Dragon and all these shows where, you know, like, a storyline is carefully cultivated, Disney and Marvel just aren't putting the same cultivation into these shows. So I don't really look at the finale as like a finale. I looked at it as the last show of this particular series, and then that was it. Like, it's supposed to lead me to somewhere else, but I'm just not sure yet, right? Like, we know, like, The Bear season 2 ended, I know, okay, season 3, this is where the characters should pick up on here, this might change, so on and so forth. But all of this is like, we're only getting one season of Secret Invasion, so like, there's not enough buy-in and investment on our side and on Marvel's side for us to care about it. So I honestly don't look at the finale as like its own standalone thing. I look at it as part of a larger narrative that the Secret Invasion was trying to execute. And you can argue about how much they executed it. I think talking about Rotten Tomatoes, I would give this like 60% at best.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I can't take it that seriously.
Yeah.
That's a number I could get behind too. 60%.
Yeah. So the series unto itself is at 57%, but the finale was the one that was ranked 13%, which I think is ridiculous. That it's that low. I mean, most episodes, I looked at their episode rankings and they're mostly like in the 50s or 30s, which I think is silly also. But for the finale to be 13%, that's just like, you're just trying to like you're trying to make a headline and trying to like, yeah, you're stirring the pot and you're like, oh yeah, all the superhero stuff sucks now. And we're crapping on everything.
What is Rotten Tomatoes comprised of? Like,
so it's critics, and the way it's done is
AI.
No. Well, who knows, honestly, but the thing about Rotten Tomatoes is isn't like, it's not exact science, because if you like, let's say, so like for something to be a passing grade, I think it's got to be like 60 and above, right? So let's say I review something, I go, yeah, this, it's like a 62, right? And then you review it and you go, it's 59. So like mine would be in the positive favor and yours would be in the negative, even though like it's very close. You know what I'm saying? Like it's.
So do they just try to find like a median between these two critics who review the same thing and say, okay, let's just go ahead and average this out.
Yeah, they average whatever the grade is. Yeah, it's
makes sense.
It's not the be all end all, but it is a popular, you know, site that people use to try to track how, you know, how well received or not movies and TV shows are. I think TV shows usually kind of get the rougher end of it as opposed to movies for whatever reason, from what I've noticed with Rotten Tomatoes. But yeah, the show overall was like a 57, which is not the worst Marvel thing. I think the worst Marvel thing on Rotten Tomatoes is still Quantumania, which is like at 48%, which I think is still kind of low for that too. I don't think that is super fair for that. You know, 60 would be fine. But touching on what Tristan was saying, yeah, the business part of this is something I also want to talk a little bit about, because you have Disney, and yeah, they've got a lot of problems right now. But, you know, right now we're in a writer's strike and an actor's strike. And you have the CEO of Disney, Bob Iger, who he was a CEO from 2005 to 2020, to the end of 2020, right? And Disney Plus started in November of 2019. And all of this Disney Plus stuff was put in motion under his watch. Even after he left the CEO spot, he was still with the company as an executive chairman through 2021. And then just this past November, he retook his job as CEO. And just recently he signed himself to an extension. He makes like $27 million a year, right? And recently he was quoted as talking about Marvel, where Marvel has failed, like in the time he's been away. So in the year and a half when he wasn't in charge of Disney, when he kind of still was, he said that, oh yeah, you know, them putting everything on Disney Plus is, that's what sunk Marvel. That's what's diluted the brand. And it's like, you did that though. That was under your watch. And what's funny is people are like, oh, he's the white knight on the white horse riding in to save the day. It's like, no, he fucked up the day. He's the one that messed it up. But he's not saying that. He's saying, oh, they did this. And, you know, this other CEO, this guy that he handpicked, this Bob Chapek guy, who was just kind of doing what he said to do. Because, I mean, if you look back at 2019, Marvel was at its height. Endgame almost made $3 billion. So what do? They go, hey, people love this Marvel stuff. Let's give them more. So let's flood the market. We're going to have a streamer. And we're going to put a ton of stuff on the streamer to keep people subscribing and month after month. And so... And honestly, I don't begrudge them for that tactic. That's what anybody would do at any business. I mean, look at right now, Barbie is at 500 million in less than a week. There's already a plan for a Mattel cinematic universe of like 14 movies. So all the people who are like, oh yeah, Marvel, so sick of Marvel. You're going to get real sick of Mattel when they have the Uno movie in 2027 or whatever. That's not a joke. They're making an Uno movie. I'm not kidding. They are.
Hey, listen, as long as they stack the draw four, the plus two, plus two, plus two, plus two. Listen, that is the way to play. I don't care what their rules say.
I'm just saying things run its course, and I'm not being critical of like, hey, like if I were in charge, I probably would make the same decisions. However, if I were in charge and I went away for a year and a half, I would say, you know what, we made this mistake, and now we're pulling back and we're going, you know what, less of these shows. Let's focus more on our movies. Let's make our movies special like they used to be, instead of like, and I still think the movies are not that bad, honestly. Like I think because the shows are so like like Tristan said, there's like Disney Channel echelon kind of shows. Then they're like filling the space in between the movies. It feels like there's Marvel stuff all the time. And that's the problem. Because if you go away and you make it scarce and it becomes special again, then even if the movies aren't as great, because you haven't seen one in 5 or 6 months, you're like, oh, I'm excited to go see Quantumania Part 2 or whatever, you know, like, and there's so much stuff they still have in the pipeline. There's still a lot of TV shows that they have coming up too. So we're not out of the woods on Disney Plus just yet, but I do think that is it's part of the problem. And once they get past that, maybe we can get back to some better stuff. But, you know, also on one of Tristan's points about, you know, prestige shows like The Bear and Succession and Last of Us, those are so much better than this show, of these shows. I mean, like compare it with like other superhero shows, The Boys is so much better than the Disney Plus shows. Peacemaker is so much better than, you know, that's the HBO Max series from DC last year. So much better than, Peacemaker did like an alien invasion, Secret Invasion style story better than Secret Invasion did. Like, so, you know, they've really got to kind of just kind of get through this. And I think that, honestly, with the Secret Invasion storyline, for this to really work, they needed to kind of sprinkle this kind of stuff in for like the past 5 years. Like, have so-and-so is a Skrull, and like, you're like, oh, the character was kind of weird in Captain America Civil War, and oh, he's kind of strange in Infinity War also. Like, you've got to kind of like have a trail of breadcrumbs that like leads to something. You can't just like go, oh yeah, now they're all Skrulls, and then they die, and then they, some of them are Skrulls and some of them are not. And it's like, that's the part of this story to me that didn't work.
It's the investment. Like,
yeah,
show these leaders getting kidnapped at the beginning.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just pop that up in the finale. Like, oh, like, I mean, I know they kind of sprinkled in a little bit, but like, we don't know at the beginning of the season that these are the leaders that are kidnapped, you know, for the most, it's not explained.
No,
not a lot of exposition in the show. Like, I think this particular series expects its viewers to already know these things. And like, so it doesn't do the extra work. Plus it's only 6 episodes. So I think it was destined to be an average show at best. Right. So like, there's no point in me getting super worked up about the lack of plot development or how some of the characters are inconsistent or whatever, like the mid fight scene at the end. Like, it just wasn't, they let us know from the beginning, this is something to hold you over during this dead period until something bigger happens, until something more substantial happens. And
yeah,
I think the ratings reflect that. I mean, they're a little hyperbolic, but they reflect like, hey, you guys aren't putting too much into this. There's no reason for us to put too much into this as far as investment.
So I wanted to pose these questions to y'all, and I'm going to ask Frank first. I think one of the bigger characters, aside from Nick Fury, is that of you know, Rhodey, right? Don Cheadle. Was it the second episode between the two men that, I mean, that was an incredible dialogue between these two when Rhodey was firing Nick, right? And I was just blown away by that whole dialogue and performance. But in this finale, of course, we see that the leaders, everyone who has been abducted, been kept under some sort of trance, if you will, with the machines from the Skrulls, you know, they're freed. Rhodey is in a hospital gown. So my question to you, Frank, did it click about how long has Rhodey been in that situation? Because to me, the first thought was, well, the last time we saw Rhodey in a hospital gown was at the end of Civil War when he was injured from that you know, battle in the sky and what have you, and landed it on the ground really hard. So my question, do you think that Rhodey has been in that state since Civil War? Because we've seen him obviously in Infinity War, Endgame, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I mean, or am I just like off base here?
No, that just goes back to what I was saying about filling the blanks and showing an explanation of how, and Tristan touches too, of how these people got caught or kidnapped. Like,
right.
he was totally fine in fucking Winter Soldier. When they were introducing the new Captain America, John Walker, he was totally fine in Infinity War. I mean, I think in Infinity War he still had the braces on from the accident from Civil War, so he wasn't quite walking on his own, but he was using Tony's tech. So I don't know where and when he got kidnapped and this new roadie came in to replace him. They gotta explain that, man. Like, if you're gonna do a six episode period or series, then have an episode where, like, do a backtrack episode of, like, how this all went down, the confiscation of all these world leaders, all these heroes, show the DNA being confiscated by the Skrulls. You need to fill in the blanks that way. I just feel like when you pay big money for, you know, a Samuel Jackson and a Mr. Deer and Emilia Clarke, and you know, these are big time actors, man. Like, you got to flip side the storyline to, like, use these actors in. Or if you're gonna do that, then take a lower level storyline, something that's lower level, not something like Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion is an MCU project. It's not a Disney Plus project. So take a C level hero and, like, do and make a story about that person. A Hawkeye type person, but don't take a storyline like this and just dilute it like the way you have. It just, you ruined it for me. Like, I have to go back and read the comic book just to get that feeling again.
Don't hate on Hawkeye, okay? That show wasn't too bad. It was entertaining.
I liked Hawkeye.
I did too.
No, you like Kate Bishop. You don't like Hawkeye. Shut up.
No, I like the actual show. That's probably my third favorite. After WandaVision, Captain America, and Winter Soldier, and then Hawkeye. Those are my three favorites.
Over Loki?
We're gonna do rankings at the end, y'all. We're gonna do rankings at the end. The other, you know, kind of big surprise, and Tristan, I agree with you saying, really, with the show, you kind of can't take it too seriously just because they didn't flesh out the storyline. Nick Fury being married? And being married to a Skrull, and her having lived in London, I guess, throughout the time. That was also not really clear sometimes where they were at times. Sometimes they were in Russia, sometimes they were in London, sometimes they were in God knows where. The storyline of, Nick Fury being married kind of felt like it maybe came out of left field, or is that just me?
That's believable. I mean, I think it's a super agent. I mean, hell, we didn't know for four movies that Hawkeye was married. So it makes sense. Fair. I mean, when you're a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent or agent of any kind, that part of your life is always hidden. So that part I could believe. I mean, the super spy Nick Fury of all agents, I could believe that.
But being married to a Skrull.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing with them since 1993. So, I mean.
Yeah. I like the, I guess the, using that marriage as, like, a vehicle for, like, kind of talking about these broader themes of, like, identities and stuff like that. Loving somebody, you know, at their core and not just on the surface. Mm-hmm. I think it's two things. I think, yeah, like, it is believable, like Frank said. I think it's also one of those left field things at the same time. Like, hey, what if we made Nick Fury? What if we put him with a wife? What if we made him marry? Like, it doesn't really serve any larger point other than to kind of, like I said, like, discuss those broader themes, but I can see it as plausible. That doesn't mean that I needed it, you know? Like, this is Nick Fury's super spy. Like,
yeah.
How much time do you actually have to develop and show a loving relationship between Nick Fury and anybody, honestly, besides, like, Maria Hill? Like, I don't.
That's fair.
I think Maria Hill died, and, like, they brushed over that shit. Like,
yeah, we lost Maria Hill and Talos, and both of them were cliffhanger at the end of the at the end of episode deaths, which made you think that they weren't going to stick, and they both stuck, and it didn't really matter, and we just kept moving.
I think too, for me as well, like, with Nick Fury, is that this is a cataclysmic global event, and in Infinity War, when Thanos pretty much won, you called Captain Marvel for help. Captain Marvel was a big vehicle on, like, helping to find these people a planet. She was a main, the Skrulls was a main plot in the Skrull Decree was the main plot in the Captain Marvel movie. why was she not involved? I don't understand. Like, she is literally like going from planet to planet, trying to find a home for these people. She should have been involved in some form of fashion, at least as a connection going towards the Marvels coming out later on this year. She's a number one Skrull character. I mean, she's not a Skrull, but the storyline revolved around her origin story for the most part in the first movie.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know. I felt like, and I said it in the first pod that we did for the show, is that I felt like I was missing things. Like, did I miss a detail from these past movies or other shows? Because let's just face it, you do kind of have to watch all these MCU installments to understand what's going on in other installments. Like when they talked about Sorin, who is Talos's wife and Gaia's mother, they're like, oh yeah, Sorin died. And I'm like, when? Where? Like, did I miss it? Like, why is this also important at the same time? But I mean, at this, you know, ultimately it kind of fueled Gaia with her beef with Gravik, you know, you killed my mother, you killed my father. My name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father. And that's where I went. Prepare to die. But like, I don't know. I just felt like with the show, there was a lot of things that there were holes, without a doubt. I mean, no MCU installment is perfect necessarily, but this show I felt just had like a lot of holes and just a lot of like, why not? Let's just throw this in here just to see how it does. You know what I'm saying? Like it was really weird. But I will say I love the casting for I think her name was Vera. Her Skrull name is Vera or Vara. Her human name was Priscilla, Nick Fury's wife. And it's Charlaine Woodard.
Yep.
I love her. The first time I ever saw her, I think, was in The Crucible with Daniel Day-Lewis. She played Tituba. I loved her then, loved her now still. She's a phenomenal actress and, like, you know, she can hold her own too. So that was kind of cool. Like, it was a nice complimentary to that of Nick Fury in terms of character persona.
I want to go back to the Rhodey thing being a Skrull, which, you know, we could tell, like, probably from episode 2 that he was going to be a Skrull. And when we did our first episode, one of my predictions, and I was wrong, is I thought, oh, the president is going to be a Skrull. Didn't turn out that way. And by episode 2, I knew I was
kind of wish it did, though.
Yeah, I mean, of course, at the end, he kind of, it was kind of a weird bill that he passed or whatever to hunt down all the Skrulls or all the aliens who are in the world. But I thought it was interesting, you know, with the reveal that Rhodey was a Skrull the whole time, with the fact that Everett Ross was also one of the Skrulls. You know, we saw him in the beginning, but then when he was freed, he's the one who makes the comment about, oh, to Rhodey, like, how long have you been here? And it's like, well, I mean, Ross, we saw him in Wakanda Forever, which wasn't mm-hmm. that long ago. That's the last time we saw him. So you wonder when he was kidnapped. I mean, like, to me, the Rhodey, like, he must have been kidnapped after Falcon the Winter Soldier, right? Because it just doesn't make sense for Rhodey to be the Skrull in Infinity War and Endgame and even Captain America and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like, that, because, like, first of all, he bled in those movies and it wasn't purple. Second of all, like, you know, he was at Tony's funeral, like his friend, like that ruins that moment if he was a Skrull the whole time. I don't think he was a Skrull, but they left it ambiguous though, which I thought was weird. Like, they're like, they couldn't tell you exactly when it happened. It's like, oh, you've been in here for so long. Like, that was strange.
I'm going to make this argument. We just did a review on Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. There was a character in there that was impersonating someone else, and that person was a teacher who dedicated his whole year to teaching students, but he was really the bad guy. So when you have a mission, I think you'll commit to it. So this Skrull could have potentially been Rhodey for a very, 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 very long time. Who knows? Got to keep up with, you know, appearances, right? You would go to your best friend's funeral, hopefully, you know, as Rhodey. I don't know.
But if half the population is gone after Infinity War and you're one of the ones who's around, isn't that your opportunity to, like, capitalize and go, half of them are gone, I can get rid of the other half or whatever? Like, wouldn't you carry out your plan then? Wouldn't it be easier to do that? Like,
yeah, but if half your own population is gone, it's kind of like, what's the point? Like, I don't know.
If you're looking to take Avengers off the board or whatever, like half of them are off the board. Like, and they're,
I don't know, because Rhodey was there. He was, you know, out here talking to Nat about, you know, Clint.
That's why it doesn't work.
I don't know.
It doesn't
work. Yeah, probably not.
So let's talk about Gaia for a little bit. The mother of dragons, of course, Emilia Clarke. Along with Gravik, she is given the harvest powers, which is the DNA of all the Avengers who have bled somewhere. Or maybe they just like you know, raided a 23andMe factory or something and got their DNA that way. I don't know. But Frank, I wanted to ask you, is Gaia now the most powerful being in the MCU after she got all those powers?
I mean, shit, she's up there. I mean, just,
she's got to be, right? I mean, like,
off my head. I mean, Groot, Ebony Maw was a handful by himself. Yeah, Hulk, Ebony Maw, Groot, Extremis from Iron Man 3. Yeah. Like, she's up there, man. I don't know. I mean, she's not more powerful than Strange and Scarlet Witch. Like, anybody who is in magic or like anything like that, she's not more powerful than that because they can just take her out of reality. But yeah, she's elite. I don't like, and that's another thing. Like, if this is gonna be a one-off series, like, what do you do with her character? She's walking around with all these fucking powers, and like, we're never gonna see her again. Like, that's like,
well, she's teaming up with Olivia Coleman's character somehow. Hey, you scratch scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We'll save each other's people. I don't know. She's gonna work for MI6. I don't know. That's what it seems like she's gonna do.
Then that's a one man MI6 team. Like, it doesn't anybody else. It's just, well, her. Okay. Like, what the fuck?
So,
anybody else
take up the whole salary cap? Like,
right, right, exactly. So speaking of the harvest DNA, I do have a list of the different names that were popping up on the screen. So I'm just gonna read them really quickly: Abomination, Black Panther, Captain America, Captain Marvel, the Chitauri, Corvus Glaive, I don't remember who that is right now, Drax, Ebony Maw, Gamora, Ghost, oh, that makes sense now, okay, Hulk, Korg, Mantis, the Outriders, sounds like something from The Witcher, Proxima Midnight, Thanos, Thor, Valkyrie, and the Winter Soldier.
Nigga, Thanos? God, nigga, come on, man, like, what?
So I mean, all she has to do is snap her fingers and we're done. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's a pretty good pool of DNA, if you will.
I mean, just the Black Order alone. The Black Order was Clovis Clave, Ebony Maw, Thanos. Like, that alone, you're not fucking with her. Mm-hmm. Not, like, I don't know.
Who are the Outriders? The Outriders?
That must be a different show. I didn't watch.
I'm gonna have to Google it and then get back to y'all.
But that's, I don't like, you have to explain to me how the Skrulls got Thanos. Like, he got dusted twice, and like, and one time he got stabbed and like he beheaded was off world when Thor beheaded him and he bled. Like, where were they at when he got his powers? I mean, his DNA. I mean, doesn't make sense.
From Thor's hammer. Or not hammer. What's it called? Axe.
Oh, it's axe.
I don't know.
Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker. There you go. That thing. By the way, the Outriders are a mindless species subservient to Thanos and the Black Order. Mm. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know.
I mean, from this list, there's a lot of like.
And
while
Fury, and that is another question for me. Why would Fury want to have all of those?
That's why I asked earlier.
That doesn't mean that, like, that's to me, that's the ultimate betrayal. Like, you every time there's a problem, you run to the Avengers for help, and now you're collecting their DNA for what? Like, what?
Maybe he wanted to be a super Fury.
Like, you gotta explain it to me too. Like, are you trying to create like another team in case they just don't want to join a team up anymore? Like that needs to be explained. Like, that was weird to me how that was not explained.
Well, if they at some point were able to kind of try to do another Captain America, it was, you know, what's his name? Tell me, gentleman's name, Isaiah
Bradley.
That one. You know, they tried to kind of replicate Captain America. I'm sure Fury was going to try to replicate either multiple Avengers or make one super Avenger. I don't know. I mean,
that's the problem, though. Like,
He's Captain done shady America, shit, so.
Yeah, Captain America, Winter Soldier. The main plot of that show was Fury trying to take things out of the Avengers' hands and create this order of like helicarriers. That was a result of like him trying to like point the gun at people who need to be shot at just in case they do bad shit. You would think after that shit, after what Captain America put him in his place about that, he would have chilled on like this whole like preemptive. Let me point the gun at the world before criminals react type deal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess Nick Fury, he started the Avengers Initiative, so I guess he was like, he's going to see it through. Like, I guess the Super Avengers Initiative.
It was his midlife crisis, so, you know. That was a good joke.
One of the things I want to talk about is, so the budget for this show is $211 million, which is double Oppenheimer. So my question is, and Tristan, I want to direct this to you because you mentioned like the prestige shows. Does this show look remotely like those shows?
I think about like the major action scenes in this show. I'm thinking about the fight with Guy and Gravik in the finale. I'm thinking about the bombing in Russia. No, the graphics, the CGI. This is not well. This is not the best produced show that Marvel has given us. And I think, just being honest, man, it just reflects like a lot of these layoffs, and it just reflects a lot of the business stuff that's happening. It never gave me the feeling like this big Marvel show. This is just like, hey, here are these people you know, and these characters, and want to introduce the storyline and see what we can get from it, but. None of the stakes resonated with me, right? Like we talk about Maria Hill dying. Didn't really resonate after she died. It didn't pop up. Hell, like we're talking about the scene with Don Cheadle and Samuel L. Jackson. Like even that, like the stakes of that meeting didn't really resonate. Like it was just like, oh, I got fired. Okay, cool. And he left, and there's nothing much to it. So no, I didn't see just like the production level. Like even Game of Thrones, like season 8, the much maligned season 8, was outside of like the, you know, the darkness complaints, was a production masterpiece.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like you can get away with some bad writing here or there if the graphics are great. If the visuals are great. I didn't think the visuals were great in the show. I didn't really think they were that good, honestly. Like it looked like for Disney.
Right.
A low budget production.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm not even really talking about the CGI. To me, the CGI was okay. To me, it's just like all of these shows have a Disney Plus look. They all look like they're like, when it's just people in a room, like they're in a hospital talking, it doesn't look great. Like even just sitting in a hospital talking, it looks like they're on a soundstage in Atlanta and they got the volume video boards behind them. It just doesn't, it's not like real, like when you're watching The Bear, when you're watching The Boys, which is a superhero world, but the people in that world look like they're actually in that world. Whereas in these Disney Plus shows, it's like, oh, there's Nick Fury, there's Samuel L. Jackson. He's at some random rundown hospital that they're using for a day or whatever, or some like it's there's something about it. To me, the CGI wasn't terrible, but it just the look and the feel of it, it makes it feel like it's not on the level of some of these other like prestigious shows who, by the way, don't have the budget this show does. This show, the budget is insane for this show, considering the output that we got.
You mean you didn't find it believable in the finale when Nick Fury was basically in Chernobyl and like coughing up a storm and like about to die because of all the radiation exposure?
To me, that wasn't that bad looking, but like I said, just like when it's like, they're like, you know, they're on a site or something and they get out of their Jeep and they're going to a fence. It's just, doesn't look like they're actually in the world, you know, like maybe that's just me, but it just
look like a simulation. Basically.
Yeah. There you go.
Real
actors. Yeah. Yeah. That I just think that's part of it. And like the Star Wars shows on Disney Plus are even worse. They look like seriously people cosplaying in Star Wars get up like on a soundstage. I mean, that's what it looks like for like that Obi-Wan show, which by the way, that Obi-Wan
show. No, I just want to say, we don't talk about Obi-Wan.
I just want to say that show was nominated for an Emmy. And I'm like,
oh my God.
How? How?
Why?
And The Boys Why? Wasn't nominated. I mean, how is The Boys not nominated? Like, that's, I don't want to get off topic, yeah, but like, that's just like ridiculous.
Seth Rogen, though. Like, Seth Rogen has clowned the Academy multiple times, and they don't focus on Seth Rogen. The whites, sorry, Justin, the whites of the U.S. society do not focus on Seth Rogen. He has said that on LeBron's show, on the Barbershop show multiple times, how they hate
his own people.
Yeah, they don't like him.
Season two was nominated, and season three, which was better than season two, was
Herogasm deserves an award.
I know,
damn it.
Like, yeah, it's so ridiculous that nothing from that season, which, man, by the way, would have fit in the parameter for this upcoming Emmys.
Not even Jensen. Not even Jensen Ackles.
They got CGI kind of nominations and like sound design or whatever, but they didn't get anything for their actors or the writing or like, and that show's so well done. I don't get it. And then when you have a show like Obi-Wan, which was horrible, like it's not even the best Star Wars show on Disney Plus. Like, no. That's what's insane.
Hey, but, back to Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these war shows too, I know we get off topic a little bit, but when you watch a lot of these war shows, anytime you deal with human voters, it's going to be a level of biasness. And because Star Wars is such a cult phenomenon that over the last 50 years, it's going to get a benefit of doubt over something that's pretty new with The Boys and any other thing that's new to society. Something like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Star Trek. These are like the Mount Rushmores of mainstream culture. So with the voters, especially old heads, they're gonna give those shows the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I just like the category that like Obi-Wan's nominated in is ridiculous. All these like
album of the year over Kendrick Lamar for the Grammy. After that, I was like, bro, I don't, voters are flawed. They're human. Like once you have a love for somebody over the actual art of another great person, it's a flawed system. It just is.
No, I agree. It's super subjective, but I just think that like sometimes like there are things that are like better than others and they're in a certain tier level, and stuff like Obi-Wan, stuff like the Disney Plus Marvel shows, they're in a lower tier. They just are. They're just across the board, they're just not as good.
And there's Disney too. Like, I mean, their influence alone is going to get them love on a lot of these Academy Award panels and shit too. So,
do y'all have anything else you want to talk about with this series before we kind of rank the Disney Plus shows? Any final thoughts or something we didn't touch on? Brittany, do you have something?
I don't know. I mean, I think for the most part, we've touched on pretty much everything that probably stuck out like a sore thumb. I just think, for me personally, similar to that of the storyline for the Falcon and Winter Soldier, the storyline in itself was just kind of weak, and that's coming from someone who has not read the comics like Frank has. Everything I know about the Marvel as a whole comes strictly from the movies and the shows. I'm not a comic book reader, so I can only imagine what these shows and movies mean to people like Frank and Tristan, who have, you know, read these books and comic books and such, and can compare and contrast and offer far more of an opinion than I can. However, getting what we've seen from the show, I mean, Nick Fury was kind of like this force to be reckoned with, and they just kind of, to me, made him seem less than that. I mean, that was just something that was said amongst different characters, that, you know, this is the old Nick Fury wouldn't have done this, or, you know, you've lost your touch, or this and that, what have you. I kind of have to agree with that in a way, because Nick Fury before kind of seemed to be just like this ultimate badass, and like he kind of tried to have his moments, but it just didn't land for me personally. And I did read somewhere about Samuel L. Jackson as an actor, is that he doesn't care if the project is going to be successful or not in the end. He loves what he does, and he's going to continue playing a character that he loves because this is his world and this is what brings him joy. So whether Nick Fury or Marvel is going to be successful after this, I think it could be safe to say that we will continue to see Samuel L. Jackson in this role as long as he wants to do it. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for him to keep getting paid, keep getting the checks. And I mean, honestly, like when you're the actor, one of these shows, you don't have a ton of control over the finished product. You can only do your part. He did his part well. The actors in this were pretty great. Like casting for the MCU, there really hasn't been any bad casting ever. So the actors kind of brought
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel's not the best, but even that character, you can, I think she might be better than the Marvels, but it's just, you know, the stories for this, they never really come together, and there's not a whole lot, seems like, that they're really putting into them. Frank, any final thoughts or anything we didn't talk about that you want to mention?
No, I'm good, bro.
Okay. Tristan?
I'm just piggyback on Brittany. Samuel Jackson continues to be captivating as Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. One of the best characters that we've seen. Elite character that we've seen in the MCU since 2008. So even though like the story around him wasn't the best, Samuel Jackson continues to show up as long as I've been alive. Samuel Jackson, he comes in, he shows up, he does his job, and that's that. And salute to him.
Well said.
They need to let him say motherfucker one time. They let Star-Lord say, get the fuck in the car.
Yeah.
Open the fucking door. They need to let Samuel L. Jackson say motherfucker. I mean, just let the man do it.
I agree. Totally agree. That should have been the first ever F word in the MCU. They missed it. But then they couldn't do it on Disney Plus, so they had to wait till he's in a movie again. Who knows the next movie he'll be in? It'll be like 2035 or something, maybe the next time we see him. Okay, it's time. Let's provide our rankings for the Disney Plus shows from the MCU. As I mentioned before, Secret Invasion is the 9th Disney Plus show. I'm going to run them down real quick. So we had 5 Disney Plus shows in 2021. We had WandaVision, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, What If, and Hawkeye. Those were all in 2021. 2022 gave us Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, and She-Hulk. And then Secret Invasion so far is the only one for 2023. Brittany, I'm going to go to you first. How would you rank the 9 shows so far?
All right. So in the middle, I can kind of, you know, switch some shows around. So y'all don't come at me for switching stuff around, because I know we've, you know, every time we've reviewed a new MCU show, we do our ranking. So here we go. First one, I'm going to go with WandaVision. Second, Loki. Third, Moon Knight. Fourth, Ms. Marvel. 5 and 6 can be interchangeable. It's Hawkeye and What If. So 5 and 6 for that. 7 is She-Hulk. 8, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And 9, sadly, Secret Invasion.
Frank, what do you think? Your rankings?
I gotta go back. I don't think I've seen half of these.
Well, you've seen half of them because we've done podcasts on half of them.
I didn't see. Okay, so 1, I'll have to go Loki.
Okay.
2, Falcon Winter Soldier. I didn't finish What If. 3, WandaVision. 4, What If. 5, Hawkeye. I didn't see Moon Knight. Didn't see Ms. Marvel. She was pretty bad. It's a tie between She-Hulk and Invasion.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that 6? Is that name 7?
I think you named 7 minus.
I think I'm 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Moon and Ms. Marvel. I didn't see those. I can't rank those.
Fair enough.
Go for it, Tristan.
All right, so for me, WandaVision's number 1, just was captivating from week to week, like legitimately captivating. Like, I can't believe I'm watching this. Is that good? 2, I'm going Cap and Winter Soldier. Again, I was super captivated by that story. It wasn't the best story, but keep me captivated for 7 episodes, whatever the hell. 3, I'm going What If. Forgot about What If. What If was brilliant. I couldn't recommend that enough. 4, Hawkeye. 5, Loki. Loki was really good. The variant stuff is, that's where Marvel loses me. Like, it's it's too much stuff. And even what if really didn't get there until like the, you know, a couple episodes, but mostly the last episode. But a lot of the variant, the space stuff, time continuum stuff, like that's where they lose me. See Doctor Strange. Six, I'm going Secret Invasion. I didn't watch the last Moon Knight. I refuse to watch that. That looked horrible. And Miss Marvel and She-Hulk. I haven't seen a single episode of any one of those three. So,
my God, he came for Moon Knight.
I want to point out that we talked about Rotten Tomatoes earlier. Miss Marvel is the highest rated MCU show on Rotten Tomatoes with a 98%. It is, people liked it. I liked it.
No, I liked it, but I would not give it that high of a rating.
No, I would not either. I wouldn't either. That's
I definitely put Moon Knight
over the top
before Miss Marvel.
Okay, well, I don't have it that way. So here's mine. Like Tristan said, WandaVision. I think WandaVision just kind of holds a special place because it was the first thing we got. You know, we didn't get anything in 2020 because of the pandemic. We were kind of starved for MCU content. And then WandaVision came along and it was so unique and so like kind of groundbreaking. So it's number one. Loki's my number two. I think that Loki and WandaVision are the only two of these shows that don't actually look like the characters are in their world and the world looks kind of realistic. The rest of the shows are kind of what I mentioned before, the way Secret Invasion is as far as the look of it. My number three is She-Hulk. She-Hulk, I thought was very entertaining. I look forward to seeing it every week, which Secret Invasion was the opposite of this. Like I watched it because I wanted to watch it because we're talking about it here on this podcast. I was looking at my phone a lot during Secret Invasion, so I didn't really, you know, didn't feel like I missed anything. My number four, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I love those characters. I wish the story was a little bit better, but you know, having the Falcon become Captain America at the end, like that's probably the most important thing we've seen in the Disney Plus shows, in my opinion. I mean, maybe Miss Marvel, obviously getting her powers because it's origin story, but that I think that's a key moment. So it's got to be ranked up there kind of high. My number five is Hawkeye. Hawkeye came out around Christmas time in 2021. I think it was a pretty good, fun little miniseries that, you know, kind of advanced stuff and gave us a new character. So I like that one. Number six is Miss Marvel. I think Kamala Khan, I can't think of the name. Amon Vellani is the actress. I think she's great. I think she's going to steal the show in the Marvels. I'm looking forward to that. So that's number six for me. Number seven is What If. You know, What If is like an anthology series. So like it's connected to the MCU, but, you know, loosely, we really haven't seen a whole lot from that, except for maybe like Captain Carter, who appeared in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. My number eight is Moon Knight. I think Moon Knight had great acting in it with Oscar Isaac playing multiple characters. The story to me was just kind of all over the place. And I don't know. And again, are we ever going to see that character again? I'm not sure if they have any plans for Moon Knight or any one of his variations to return. And then finally, number nine, Secret Invasion. And even though it's last, to me, like three through nine are all like very close. I think WandaVision and Loki to me are, I want to talk about that tier system. They're in a tier above these other shows. But anyway, so that's how I saw it. That's how we see it. So, hey, let us know in the comments section what you think about our rankings. Share your rankings. We'd like to know what you think about you know, the rankings for the MCU shows. And the final thing I want to talk about is what's next for the MCU. And I want to get, I'm going to lay it out and then we'll ask everybody, like, you know, what are you looking forward to? So the next thing that's coming up is Loki season two. It's scheduled to drop on October 6th. Then we have the Marvels. It's the newest film, November 10th, unless they move it. Then on November 29th, we're getting the Echo series. Echo was a character that was introduced in Hawkeye. And what's unique about the Echo series is Disney Plus is dropping all of it on November 29th, which probably means they don't think it's very good. They just want to like dump it and be done with it. That's kind of unfortunate for that character. And then as far as the other MCU shows, there's still an Ironheart series that's supposedly coming out in 2023. I don't think that's going to happen, but we saw that character in Wakanda Forever.
2023 or 2024?
It still says 2023 on the Marvel website.
Okay.
Agatha Coven of Chaos. Of course, Agatha was introduced in WandaVision. It still says 2023. I don't believe that'll be 2023. And then for 2024, they have Daredevil Born Again. They also have the X-Men 97 animated series. They have season 2 of What If. They have Spider-Man Freshman Year. And they have another animated series, Marvel Zombies. So that's what's coming up for Disney Plus. As far as the movies, after the Marvels, the next movie we could see, which I think is going to get moved, unfortunately, is Deadpool 3, which is slated for May 3rd, 2024. After that, we have Captain America, Brave New World, which is supposedly coming out next July, followed by the Thunderbolts, which is next Christmas time. Then the Blade movie, apparently, is coming out in February of 2025, followed by Fantastic Four in May of 2025. May of 2026, we're apparently getting Avengers, the Kang Dynasty. And then May of 2027 is Avengers Secret Wars, which I don't think will be that date. I think it'll be much later. Brittany, of all the stuff I've mentioned, what, first of all, which show are you most looking forward to and which movie are you most looking forward to?
So both are tentative just because of what's going on with the writers and actor strike. You know, I'm not going to put a whole heck of a lot into it just because we don't know the outcome. I mean, rightfully, everyone in the movie or entertainment industry deserves to be paid fairly. And I think obviously they're exercising their rights. So more power to them. But the shows that I'm looking forward to, okay, let me put it this way. One that's complete and we know it's coming out is Loki season 2 for sure. I am very much looking forward to that. But the show that I'm really, really looking forward to, which I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, is going to be Daredevil. Give me all the Charlie Cox. That man is phenomenal. Love seeing him in She-Hulk. I Frank, I hate you and love you for introducing me to him in that show. So love, hate you. And the movie that I'm looking forward to, again, is, which is funny because I really didn't watch the first versions of the movies growing up all that much, is Blade. I want to see Mahershala Ali be Blade. Like, that's going to be fucking badass. You know, Deadpool's going to be awesome as well. I'm curious too about date because they did push it up 6 months earlier than original release date. But I'm very much looking forward to seeing Mahershala Ali in the MCU finally and be Blade. So those are the movies I'm looking forward to. So we'll just have to wait and see what's going to happen, you know, with this actors and writer strike and how everyone plans to move forward. So yep. Frank, what's your show and your movie that you're looking most forward to?
Okay. First up, did I miss you, Justin? Is it going to be 7 years between Avengers movies?
It'll be
a while.
Yeah, because the next one is apparently slated for May. So Avengers Kang Dynasty is supposedly going to come out May 1st, 2026.
Oh, 7 fucking years.
I think it's going to be pushed back even further, to be honest. But
oh, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, that's a tough book to swallow. Okay. So I guess for me, Brittany already said it, like, Daredevil, like, that's, he's my favorite character right now in Marvel. Like, it's not even close, actually. Like, he's the one TV series, and I'm excited for it, and I'm nervous at the same time because Disney's going to be manning the project now. So I'm hoping, I'm praying that they don't dial back the violence and dial down the violent nature of Daredevil and like the surrounding characters in that series. He's a very dark character. So I hope Disney Plus doesn't kit it up for me.
I did hear that one of the characters is not coming back though. So, yeah.
But I do want to point out real quick that Daredevil is going to be 18 episodes.
Yes.
Now that might change, but that would make you think that they're going to like tell a story and flesh it out. And maybe it'll be like kind of a slow burn. It won't be one of these 6 episode things. That's like,
they're investing.
We have 6 episodes, but then like it's like, couldn't it just been 1 hour and knocked it out? Daredevil, I think, is gonna be a legit like season of TV.
So. Yeah, I mean, he was Netflix's crown jewel. Like all the shows surrounding about that storyline. Defenders, all those other shows was surrounded by his storyline. But yeah, Daredevil. Did you mention Punisher at all in that lineup, Justin?
No, I think Punisher is going to be in Daredevil. I don't think it's been confirmed totally, but I it sounds like John Bernthal, who's also in The Bear, which is great. He is going to return as Punisher in the Daredevil series.
Okay. Well, yeah. if he's not getting his own show, I'm excited about John Bernthal's Punisher. Yeah. That's my second favorite character in Marvel Universe. Yeah. I love Punisher. I love his series on Netflix. Anytime he's on screen, he brings another level of thespian elite acting to the role. As far as MCU movies, the usual suspects, Daredevil. Deadpool. Whenever Spider-Man comes back, whether it's Tom Holland or anybody else. I guess that's Sony and Marvel. I guess it's more Sony.
Well, no, I mean, if it's Tom Holland, it'll be a co-production between Sony and Disney. So,
yeah, and then I'm very interested to see how they're gonna this Avengers Kang Dynasty. Like, I mean, there are still controversy with Jonathan Majors' character. Is he gonna be recasted? How's that gonna fit the Avengers movie coming up? What new Avengers are gonna be in this movie? It still hasn't been confirmed that the new guys like Shang-Chi, like Simon Liu was talking about, he was in an interview talking about, like, he's not even sure he's gonna be in the movie coming up in 2026. Like, there's still major question marks in this roster. So I'm excited yet very concerned at the same time of like what they're gonna do with this new team. So yeah, just to recap, Daredevil, Punisher's appearance, Deadpool, Spider-Man, and Avengers.
Sounds good. Tristan, what about you? What shows are you looking forward to? What movies are you looking forward to?
As far as shows, it's really only Daredevil. Daredevil, I loved, like, I was obsessed with Daredevil in the Netflix run.
This is a Daredevil stan account, by the way.
This is a Daredevil stan account by far. When it comes to movies, I keep real with you. I don't really give a fuck about many of those things that you've named. And some of them, we're just going to have to get closer to it. And I'm going to have to feel the buzz. I feel nothing right now. But Blade, which I will probably die before it actually comes out. But that's it for me. It's something new. I absolutely think Ali is going to deliver. So just like he did Luke Cage. So those are the things I'm looking forward to. Like, other things, I'm just going to get excited as we get closer to it. But yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah.
I don't think you said the Eternals was on the roster. As long as Tristan and no one else's matters getting excited for the Eternals, we're solid. All right. We're cool. We're cool.
I mean, those characters could appear in the Blade movie because, you know, I would assume that the Black Knight, played by Kit Harington, would appear in the Blade movie, considering, you know, the Blade was kind of his voice appeared in the end of the Eternals. So you would think so, connecting stuff. But again, like I said before, they're not really connecting stuff. As far as what I'm looking forward to, so Loki season 2 is next, and there is going to be connectivity with that, because we saw, if you saw Quantumania, one of the mid-credit scenes or post-credit scenes was a tease of season 2 of Loki, and it continues some of the things that happened in Quantumania. So there will be some connectivity there. Now, as far as like which show am I most looking forward to, I'm going to say Spider-Man Freshman Year, because it's an animated Spider-Man storyline. And originally, when they announced it a couple of years ago, they said it was set in the MCU, but I don't think it is. Like, given the characters, because they announced it before No Way Home came out, and No Way Home obviously was amazing and changed the game. And so there's a lot of characters they mentioned that were going to be in this show, which is supposed to tell like Peter's like origin story, because we didn't get that in the MCU, and rightfully so. We got it with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man and with Andrew Garfield's, but we did not get that with Tom Holland's. So I'm just interested to see what that is. Like, is it going to be MCU related, or is it just this thing unto itself, which I think might be cool also. Like, go for it, do something different. As far as movies, to me, it's Deadpool 3 without a question. Like Deadpool 3, the only problem with Deadpool 3 is I don't think it's going to actually come out next May, which is a bummer because, as Brittany mentioned, they moved, like most movies they push back. This movie, they moved up to May. May is the, that's like Marvel's like window. That's where they've dominated for years. Late April, early May, that's where all of the Avengers movies come out. The Iron Man movies, you know, all these major movies have come out. Even this year with Guardians Volume 3, it made 800 and something million and it came out early May. So that's a huge date. So obviously they moved up Deadpool because they're like, this is going to be good with Hugh Jackman coming back. And there were set photos released a few weeks ago where he's in the blue and yellow costume from the animated series. There's all kinds of stuff that's going to happen that in that movie. It certainly sounds like Deadpool is going to kill the Fox universe. And that's what the storyline is going to be to like clear up the timeline. I can't wait for it. I just think that it's not going to happen in May because with this, with the writer strike and now with the actor strike, if this goes until, if the strike goes until early 2024, I don't see how they're going to be able to finish that movie and have it come out in early May. I just don't think that's possible. That's a,
so they're not shooting at all.
They're shut down. They shut down when the writer's strike started. They shut down. So, yeah. So nothing is happening for any of these shows as far as like, you know, writing or acting. So, yeah, that's a concern because, and you know what, honestly, if to make it better, if they have to push it back, push it back, that's fine. But to me, like them putting it with that May date was like, hey, we're going to like, this is going to be big. And this is going to be a $1 billion movie because we haven't had one in a little while. And we have a lot of confidence in this one. So, yeah, looking forward to that. So we want to know what y'all think as far as what you're looking forward to, you know, what shows on Disney Plus and what movies you're looking forward to seeing for the MCU coming forward. So please let us know that in the comments section below. And Brittany, how can people tell us what they think about, you know, this episode, the MCU going forward? How can they share that with us?
So piggybacking off what you said, leave a comment, like the video. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're currently at 269 subscribers. We're one away from 270, people. Be that one subscriber to help us get there. And then tell about 30 other people so we can get to 300 subscribers. Let's do it. Anyway, but other than that, yeah, follow us here on YouTube. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Watchers Basement. Yes, we are back and active on social media again. We took a little bit of a hiatus. Hey, we deserve vacation. Enjoy it. Also, help spread the word and grow our audience by using hashtag Watchers Basement. If there's something you want us to watch, something to review, articles, memes, send it our way. Use that hashtag Watchers Basement. And also, for those who may not be into video podcasts, we've got you covered with our audio podcast that you can find on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Don't forget to follow us there, as well as give us a 5-star rating. It helps us out greatly. And thank you to everyone who has already been a subscriber and follower of ours from day one or most recently. We're happy that you're here.
Thank you, Brittany. So for Brittany, and for Tristan, for Frank, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.